This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gumpfener, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy Football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I'm your host, Tim Keller. Along with me are Chris and Tyler, as they always are. So we'll let Tyler go ahead and go first. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Been making trades like crazy. Chris probably can't say the same thing, but I have been wheeling and dealing in a bunch of leagues. I have to admit, I am slowly getting on the Glennon draft bandwagon. I have made a couple trades for him. I don't know if it's because he has red hair and I just kind of feel like I have to. It's an obligation, but that's the route I'm going until he actually starts producing.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you can't be low on him because he hasn't done anything bad yet. Chris, how about you, sir?
As Tyler said, the trades have been going left and right in a few different leagues of ours, and I'm just not involved in any of them. And the offers that I get are just atrocious at best. And Tyler, to steal a joke from the DTC, the reason why you're behind Glennon is because he will stick his neck out for you. There you go.
Oh.
But in all seriousness, that he's all neck. All right. But I'm going to kind of steal thunder from Tim. I am proud to announce we have one of our favorite guests back on. We have Mike Wright's beard, ladies and gentlemen.
Just the beard.
The beard and the voice and the face. Sadly, it's a package deal. If you want the beard on, you got to get the rest.
Can we say the number one beard in fantasy football?
You can now.
Harmon.
I mean, clearly there was. I was the number one beard already. However, there could be some Matt Harmon beard truthers out there. But now he has removed the beard. I stand alone.
Yeah. What about the franchise though? Isn't the franchise? He's got a pretty solid beard.
Yeah, it's decent. It's decent.
He's a Jared Goff of beards.
Come on.
You don't quite know what you got, but he looks promising.
A lot of potential.
Wait, did you just call Jared Goff promising?
Yeah, he did.
Hey, other than his eyes being way too close together, I think he's got the talent.
Okay, sure.
There's always one.
We love having Mike on. He's probably the top analysis I love listening to. Mike, you are awesome. We are always glad to have you, of course.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. I'm glad to be back on. I'm going for that jacket.
Two more.
I get my, because you guys are blue now. So I assume it'll be a bright blue jacket.
Yeah, I've called Savers trying to make sure whenever they get one in.
Put a hold?
A hold. And I said, keep it under $5 because I'm not going to go over budget.
Mike, what are your measurements here for the jacket? Am I got like a 48?
I have no idea. They are. I'm working on bringing them down. I'll tell you that much. You're of health.
Yeah, I mean, your arms are not Devontae Parker style, so I'd say maybe 25 inch arms. Kind of look like you got tiny arms.
I don't know, man. 6 foot normal sized average human. Average
25,
man.
25 inch arms would be tiny. It would look ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Let me get the ads out of the way and we'll get into the podcast here. Our first sponsor is the Sitter Start app. The Sitter Start app is the premium app for all your Sitter Start questions. It is the off season, but that doesn't mean football has to end or the Sitter Start app isn't there to help. Stay tuned with everything going on from free agency to the combine and so much more. Download the app today. You will not regret it. Again, we are sponsored by the Sitter Start app. Our second sponsor is the RSO, Rally Sports Online. Have you ever wished to be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can thanks to Rally Sports Online, a powerful fantasy football platform where owners get to build, manage their own fantasy football teams like real NFL general managers. Rally Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy football owners to negotiate and sign NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams, has a ton of cool features, including free agency, rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract, and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills today with our 14-day free trial over at realitysportsonline.com. If you like what you see, you can use our promo code HAPPY10 and receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real over at realitysportsonline.com.
Yes, and let's not forget, we also have another great sponsor in myfantasyleague.com. Check out their MFL 10s. They are hot on the stove right now. Yes, Chris, we are using stove type of talk.
Instead of what?
Yeah, well, instead of what?
It's an inside thing between Tim, Chris, and John Bosch and I. We had some stove? Hot takes, some hot type of, what am I looking for, Tim?
Some hot fire?
I mean,
I have no idea where this is going.
Yeah, but
me neither.
But yeah, check out MFL 10s on My Fantasy League. They're a great sponsor of ours. They have been for almost a year now, so check them out as well.
All right, so we were going to do some listener questions. I believe, Tyler, you have all those collected in a pretty piece of paper or form, maybe use some crayon. I don't know exactly, but
I actually have the questions color-coded.
Oh.
I have. Oh.
Was that a picture I saw? Did you?
Yeah, that should be on there. No, no, it's a guy.
Show us a picture and we have to comment on it. What?
No, it's a roster that the one only Tim Duncan wants us.
Is it a Rorschach?
Wants advice for. No, there's a guy named Tim Duncan. Chris, I think you know who he is.
Did he play for the Spurs?
Yeah, the Spurs.
that's a joke. Powers. That's a joke. But yeah, his name is actually Tim Duncan, and he is not the basketball player. But of course, he probably hears. You know, people asking him, hey, you know, how's retirement? Yeah.
All right, so the floor is yours, Tyler.
Of Office Space with Michael Bolton.
Do you like all, what's your favorite song?
I celebrate his entire catalog. Yeah, there we go. Tim knows it.
That was just on TV the other day. And it's one of those where you're like, oh, Office Space, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
That no talent ass bag.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed the name till I was like 12, and that no talent ass bag started making music, getting Grammys.
One of my favorite parts is the neighbor when he's like, has anybody ever come up and said, do you have a case of the Mondays?
Yeah. No. No.
I believe that. I believe that would get your ass kicked.
It's so good. Hey, you want to come over and hang out? No, I don't want you fucking my life either. All right. Now we'll get right into these questions. The first one is a great question. It is, in the light of the devastating setback suffered by Matt Harmon and his beard, I'm here in 6 to 10 weeks minimum, maybe longer, until it even starts rehab. How safe of a fantasy writer's dynasty beard pick is yours?
Mine or Matt Harmon?
Yours.
Yours.
Oh, dude, I'm locked. I'm 101, baby. Locked and loaded. I mean, at worst, you can call me the 102, but... I mean, Harmon's, you're right. You're talking a couple months away from realizing its full potential yet again. So, I mean, at best, you could spend maybe a high second round pick on Harmon.
Could this be like AP back in like 2013 when he came back from that ACL, when he ended up being like a third round pick and he was like the running back one that year? Could this be?
Does that mean like his beard is just going to be gigantic when it comes back? Because it's going to have to be over 2,000 yards. Yeah, his beard is going
to
be huge.
I don't think he's willing to do that. I mean, he likes things finely manicured. I mean, look at the dew. He's still got that on point. So he's not willing to go full wild man with the beard. And I'll do what I got to do.
He'll put in the work.
Yeah.
Would you say your beard is a scrappy? Is it
yes.
Daniel Woodhead
has a lot of heart.
Lunch yeah, the heart kind ring. Of beard.
Is your beard the heart ring?
Yeah, it from yeah, your show.
Exactly. His beard is the gym rat of beards.
So if yours is the heart ring, what would Harmon's be?
Ooh, I'll go with water.
Naturally gifted.
Water. I'll go water.
Would mine be fire?
It has to be. I mean, that's a joke that's right in your face.
Yeah.
And so I assume you have Andy Dalton everywhere if your analysis of Mike Glennon is that the redheads will stick together.
Yeah, that is a ship that sailed.
I think he tried that and realized where that was getting him. So
yeah, I mean.
What about after Cincy drafts Corey Davis? Then,
Good for Andy Dalton and, you know, his wife. I mean, for a redhead, I think my wife is gorgeous. And I got lucky. I outplayed my coverage, but yeah, it's a hard knock life for us.
But I'm with you. I'm in two dynasty leagues. I'm in the one with Tyler. That we should probably talk about how the end result turned out for that league. But in my other dynasty league, I had picked up Mike Glennon with you as went way before the signing. Just of who knows, man. I mean, he's put up put up okay stuff on tape. I know the numbers don't really back it up, but whatever, man. He's a starting quarterback. He could still get things done. He's young enough to turn it around.
Hey, I mean, what was it, Chris? Over 3,000 yards and 21 and 9 touchdown to interception ratio. His
more or less, first year.
Yeah. I mean, they compared it to Wentz, so it can't be too bad. And Tampa wasn't the greatest back then.
Yeah, and people crush one of the big arguments against him I've heard is like, well, Tampa Bay would know when they spent the number one pick on Jameis Winston. And it's, yeah, well, pump your brakes there a little bit. Tampa Bay felt like that Jameis Winston is a surefire franchise quarterback. That's how they viewed it. Well, I'm sure they looked at Mike Glennon and said, well, maybe he could be it. So if you're looking at what you consider to be a locked and loaded franchise quarterback, it doesn't matter who's on your team. You take that guy.
Yep. Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the next question.
But hold on, Tyler, real quick. Yeah. No, because Mike brought it up. How did your little foray in the dynasty go this year? I mean, you went into two big leagues.
Yes.
Big boy leagues.
I was Mike in the championship won. In both, actually. Right. I won Tyler's league, smoked everyone, all the competition. My team is, in fact, set up for quite the run.
You started off not so good.
What did I lose, like two games?
Oh, yes, wow. You're 2-2, and I was actually, I want to say 3-1, and I'm like, I got this.
2-2 is such a terrible record.
Yeah,
I'm very optimistic. I had to be.
I believe I finished 10-3 before making my playoff run, and if you look, because my fantasy league, they're graceful enough to give you those like the power rankings, how you would do against everybody, and it's me. And then like a couple layers of crap, and then everybody else. Oh, I'm being joined by my
Tyler.
Clover, you got to close the door. that hashtag dad life. You know it.
Yeah,
of course.
But, it went very well for me. I obviously got in both championships. I lost the other one because Doug Baldwin decided to stick a shank in my heart and go full ham in that week 16. But I made it. Speaking of trades, if you want to bring it up, I made a humongous move with Tyler in our dynasty league, and I paid a lot.
No, you didn't. You did not pay a lot.
Okay, I have to interrupt.
Chris, okay. Oh, well, no, that's good to hear because I felt like I paid a lot, so I'd love to hear Chris's take on this.
No. There's a lot of people annoyed. There's a lot of people annoyed with Chris in certain leagues because he is poking the bear to everyone about certain trades. Oh, that's one-sided. Oh, there it is again. Oh, and people are getting so annoyed.
Hold on, Tyler. For the record, what I do in chats is I don't give any description. I just say, "Oh, what a steal!" And so that way, both people feel insecure, and that way they both feel.
Oh, I like it.
Right, but right now I'm explicitly saying, Tyler, you lost that trade.
I don't think I did
any bears. Lay the trade out. Lay it out.
All right, the trade was. I gave Ezekiel Elliott, and I got back in return C.J. Procise, Tevin Coleman, 112, and next year's first.
You lost.
You got my 212 as well.
yes, and 212.
So but you got.
But yeah, I'm gonna. Go ahead. I've got to say, I needed depth. My only running back was Elliott. That's all I had.
So it was your boy Procise. Tevin Coleman. You got the 112, the 212 this year, and a next year's first.
Yes. We're looking at about 3-4 firsts.
No, it's not terrible. I don't think I can say you won it. I understand the move to get the depth and you love yourself some Procise and Coleman.
You mean the top five running back? That's gonna happen. Ooh.
So and two for my side of it, I'm with Tyler. Like I love Procise. I think that he can take the job. The signing of Eddie Lacy, especially to me, says that they're not counting on Rawls. Maybe they're just worried about Procise's health, so they're trying to get a veteran depth in there. But I think that Procise can take that job and a three-down job at that. Tevin Coleman is great for what he is, but if Freeman gets re-signed, as everyone expects, Coleman will simply be a backup until his new contract situation works itself out. But it was one of those situations for me where I feel like it's going to be a rarity that a player of Ezekiel's caliber and his youth, by the way, as well, that he would even be mentioned to be on the block. And so I've talked about this on my show that if someone says, hey, this guy's on the block, you need to send an offer that is just, you know, that the other player cannot refuse. Because I've seen so many times someone say, oh, you know, so-and-so player X, they're on the block. They're not really. I mean, people like to say that, oh, Lamar Miller's on the block. You're like, no, he's not. Just stop messing around with the league. So
I'm easy.
I was going to say, Tyler doesn't play. When Tyler says somebody's on the block, he's got the itch, and it's on the block.
It's 10 minutes, and whoever sends the best offer, sold. That's Tyler right there.
Yeah. You're in a league with Tyler, and he kind of even mentions that somebody's on the trade block. Start shooting the offers because something's happening.
If somebody's on the trade block, you know, there's body parts coming out.
But now David Johnson and Elliott are on the same team.
I'm in a league like that, but that it was just because that owner was just had a terrible roster, drafted David Johnson, and he just stuck him on the taxi squad and rode it out, had another crap year and got Ezekiel Elliott. So now he's primed and ready to rock.
Yeah, that was my idea of this. I literally had Sammy Watkins and Elliott, and those were my guys. Like, that's it. Everybody else underperformed or was young and needed some time. I was stuck in the middle. I needed to accumulate picks. I think this draft is the draft to do so. I think at 112, with my studying and what I have done, I feel like I can use that to my advantage and draft well. And I have in that league 3 firsts, 2 seconds, and I have two firsts next year. So I feel comfortable with the trade. I get it's Elliott. I get that. I'm not stupid. But I thought, I'm a bigger ProSize fan than most, and I thought, you know, people are going to look at it like, oh, you got gypped. But I see ProSize in a brighter light. And Tevin Coleman, I think this year was not a fluke, but that's just me.
So who are you going to target then at 112? Who do you think – who are you looking at? Like, give me
111, Mike? Is that why you're trying to –
No, well, I've got nothing. I'm not. He has my pick.
Good move.
But yeah, I mean, I need tight end, and I would love to either get Njoku, OJ Howard, or Evan Ingram. I would love any of those three. So that would be good. And then I have 108, and I think I have 109. So I'd look at like a P Ryan, somebody like that there.
Tyler, if I may, and I know you're going to say that startup value is different, and I understand there's a difference between trade value and startup value. Elliott's probably what, a top 7, top 8 startup pick.
So was Gurley.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I would still prefer Gurley over that package, by the way. Anyways, even if you were to take Elliott, and let's say he's 107, ProSize is what? And even for you, a mid-5th round pick, Coleman's probably like a late 6th. The 112 is probably an 8th, an early 8th. And then the 2, whatever it is probably in the 10. Would you?
112 was way earlier than that in our startup in the Ultimate Dynasty League. Yeah.
No, it was not.
Sure it was in the 8th round.
Yeah, it was a super flex league. Remember that. I'm telling you, I would never trade the 105 or the 107 or anything in the 1st round for a 5th, a 7th, an 8th, and a 10th.
Like, that's because it would be Allen Robinson.
What?
That's because 105 would be Allen Robinson, not Elliott.
Okay.
So different values, startup values.
I like this. I'm turning the podcast on itself.
When you first told me the trade, I didn't know it was Tevin Coleman. I thought it was Corey Coleman, and I was like, oh, I still don't really care. I don't really care for it. I still think you're paying too much, but I can see it. And then when he did the trade, he goes, oh, awesome, I got Tevin Coleman. I said, in addition to Corey Coleman, he goes, no, I was talking about Tevin Coleman the whole time. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what? I was like, no, that was a terrible trade.
But if it was Jay Ajayi or Devontae Parker,
Chris does love the Dolphins.
Wait, are you saying? Are we really debating who's more valuable in Dynasty, Devontae Parker or Tevin Coleman? Really?
But we should move on.
Okay, next question. All
right. Next question. How much value does Marshawn Lynch have in Dynasty?
Oh,
and this is from Nathan Bennett.
Nice. I knew this would come up.
Yep.
It's funny, Andy from my show. So he was the one who happened to be up earliest in the morning when all the news was breaking. So he, of course, threw him on the bench, which I don't blame people at all. If he's on your bench and you have a burner spot, throw him on your bench. But here's my percentage chance that Marshawn Lynch is coming back. It's between 0 and 0. because there is no chance that Marshawn Lynch is actually coming back. He has talked about, I can't recall the interview, but someone said, what's the best part about your life right now? And he said, well, the best part is basically that he actually got to walk away with his body intact. And I mean, like, for him to say that when Marshawn Lynch, life is going well for Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Skittles sent the man to, what was it, Ireland or Scotland, just to screw around. I mean, he's getting these awesome appearances. He's still making money. People still love him. And he, his back was done, right? That last year, he knew that his back was done. He could have come back into the league and got another $10 million, but he decided, no, I'm going to keep my health. I've got enough money. I understand it's people like, oh, it's his hometown, Oakland. He gets to go back and play for him. But even if he comes back and plays, do you think a guy who has chronic back problems and has been out of the NFL for 2 years and is now 2 years older, was he 31, I believe?
31. Yeah, he'll be 31.
You think he's going to come back? And I understand Oakland's run blocking is top five or whatever. But you think that guy is going to hold up for more than four games and even be productive? It's just it's a pipe dream. But like I said, if he's there and he's free, throw him on your bench because weird things happen.
Like, how much fab would you pay out of like what percentage of like off-season fab would you pay for him?
$2.
Oh, out of 100 or just $2, no matter what, like even if it's 1,000.
It no matter what, I would give
$2. Why $2?
$2 budget, $2 spent.
I was assuming if you have $100, I would spend $2.
Okay.
But even that's throwing away $2 because you can.
All right. Anybody else have anything to add on this?
I was going to say $1. Yeah, like Mike said, I mean, the chances that this happens to begin with, very slim. If it does happen, it's a long shot bet. I mean,
Great turnaround value you can get for him.
Yeah, the second he would sign, I'm moving. Oh,
trade him.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Hot off the oven. You're getting rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah, just to be contrarian, I'll go with like a $3 to $5 free fab budget. Like, that's what I would spend for him, just for the chance. But the same thing happened last year, and everybody went ballistic, and it turned out to be nothing. And he went back to the free agency in most leagues. So
yeah, I actually have a friend in a home league that hung on to him all year last year.
Oh yeah,
all year. It's a contract league too.
I went to my leagues and I checked. He was only available in two out of 17 dynasties I'm in. 17, two of them he was available in. Wow, I was baffled, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, he's fun to watch. Chris and I both love to watch this guy play.
Oh, I love Marshall. I mean, I love him and hate him. I'm a Cardinal fan, so I've been destroyed many times by Marshawn Lynch, but if he could be healthy and playing again, that would be fantastic. It just is not going to happen.
All right, we got another question. This is about a trade that he already accepted. So we'll just, in the email, he said, I accepted the trade, so we'll still have feedback. It's the same guy, Nathan Bennett. He said he needs trade advice about Emmanuel Sanders and rookie pick 112 for Jarvis Landry. Just give me what side do you guys like, and then we can kind of move on.
Man, that is tough because I've been riding on that Broncos are going to get Romo.
Yep.
Bandwagon. And I'm still on it. I understand Houston made that very bold move to dump some salary cap and Brock Osweiler. I still feel like that if anyone's going to get him, it's going to be the Broncos.
I love how you said the salary cap before his name.
Well, we all know what happened. Brock Osweiler knows what happened. And because of that, I'm going to hold on to that hope. I'd still go with the Sanders side. I love Jarvis Landry, but I think that he is capped. Like, we've seen peak Jarvis Landry, which is very good, but we've also seen peak Emmanuel Sanders, and it is elite level. You give him Tony Romo, give me 2 years of great play from Emmanuel Sanders and that 112 to let a talent just sit on my bench and gain value. That's the side I would go with.
Yep.
Oh yeah. What is happening? We can't have this happening. That me and Chris are agreeing now.
Now, yeah. He asked me when it came up, and I told him we talked on the show too, but I told him the exact same thing. I said, I just don't see a reason to do it. It's a very lateral move, and I'm not a big fan of lateral moves in Dynasty. And he had the Emmanuel Sanders side and he was getting the Landry side. And I told him I prefer Emmanuel Sanders because his value can only go up. Because he's one of those devalued players that year after year, dynasty people just keep going down on, and he just keeps being a top 18 wide receivers. And he's done it with two of the worst quarterback plays the last 2 years. So literally anything that happens this year, you're looking at a baseline of a wide receiver 18. I'll take that. I'm pretty content with that. So to me, his value can only go up. So I'll gladly prefer Emmanuel Sanders in the pick.
Yeah, I was going to say the two receivers themselves are pretty even for me. And as Chris mentioned, I don't see how that quarterback situation gets worse. So at best, or at worst case scenario, he's going to be a wide receiver too for you. And then Tyler kind of talked about some of the people he likes at the 112 region. You could throw a guy like Chris Godwin, or there could be any number of randomized running backs that are going in the late first round right now. So I like the Emmanuel Sanders side myself.
All right. The next question is, what is the value of AJ Green? High, middle, or end of the first? PPR, I currently have the 109, 201. I was offered 111 and Marty McBride. Team include with pick, third year in Dynasty. Thanks, guys. This is from Tim Duncan himself.
Whoa, is that a fantasy footballer's reference there?
Yes.
Marty McBride?
This was in the email that
he
sent.
There we go. Oh, nice. Getting in this. Jeez. Nice.
You guys have Tim Duncan listening? Man, that's that's ridiculous.
What up, Tim?
Yeah, his team looks like he's got like Kirk Cousins. He's got Glennon.
All right, so wait, what was he offered? What was he offered for AJ Green?
111 and Marty McBride?
Hell no.
No, not even close.
Not even remotely close. Change that to like a 101 or 102.
I was going
to
say, would you guys even this year? I know that things will change after the NFL draft and maybe someone lands in a Zeke-like immediate impact situation. But at where we stand right now, I wouldn't trade the 101 for, or I wouldn't trade AJ Green for the 101.
I can see the argument.
Yeah, I mean, the 101 is in such a mumbled mess right now because is it Fournette? Is it Corey Davis? Is it Delvin Cook? It's confusing, but the value can only go up after the draft. So I think the 101 still has the unknown value. So yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys.
I prefer AJ Green over 101. I mean, not because I think, oh, AJ Green's going to be like this much stronger long-term asset. It's just, I think you should get more for him than that. I just think that the stability he has and what he's done is just, you know, give it 6 months after the draft. I feel like the 101 will go down or whoever is at 101. And I feel like AJ Green, once he starts popping off, like he always does, that his value will stabilize at a 101 plus range anyways.
I mean, AJ Green, had he not gotten injured, he would have finished as a
top five.
Yeah. Guaranteed top five wide receiver. Like yep. People freak out after injury years. They absolutely freak out. They lose their crap. And they're like, all of a sudden AJ Green's bad. You're like, the guy is a couple yards away from having 1,000 yards every single year of his career. So just chill out. AJ Green is elite.
Dez is the same way. We get the Dez questions all the time. I'm not a Dez fan, and yet I still, like, when people say 108 or Dez, I'm like, what are you what?
like in our Devy league, I got offered 102 and a third round pick in a Devy depleted rookie draft, and I got Dez. Like, that was almost a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not a Dez fan at all. But yeah, I mean, that felt like it was,
and especially when you consider how many were already taken from 2017, the Devys. Like, yeah. I think there are, what, 36 Devys that are taken, and of the 36, 21 or 24 were 2017. So the top 24-ish picks, or 24 of the top, like, you know, 40 picks are already taken. That or Dez, like, really?
It was literally either John Ross or Joe Mixon or Dez, because the 102 would have been Ross or Mixon, I'm guessing.
Dez.
But, all right, we'll move on to our next question. I'm starting my first Dynasty League, and a lot of the players, including myself, are using MFL for the first time. Obviously, there's a learning curve there. Do you guys have any resources or suggestions to help new users how to use MFL better/easier? Or for a commissioner to learn all the ins and outs and starting running an MFL league? My fear is the owners will not be active because of the unfamiliarity of the host site. Thanks, guys. All right, Chris, Tim, Mike, you were new to MFL last year, I think.
Yes, that was my first full season league.
So what did you MFL then?
Yeah.
I was confused a lot. I mean, it's what they have in my fantasy league. It's a great site, extremely robust, but the writer or the question is very correct. It's because it's so robust, there is a steep learning curve, especially compared to the other sites, which, and to be fair, I mean, those other sites have been running for a lot longer than my fantasy league. So they've been able to troubleshoot, break things down. I mean, the big sites still have problems too. So no one's perfect, but there was a giant learning curve for me. I just remember my first time trying to even work the waiver system, and it, like, I feel like the machine just kept yelling at me. Like, and I consider myself a pretty tech savvy person. I mean, before fantasy, I worked in the tech area making games, so it's not like I don't know how to use a computer. But it was tough. And this would have been great because I didn't have any resources. I just put my head down and powered through it. Eventually, I feel like I know most of what I'm doing now.
Yeah, and I'd actually have to suggest using the help up on the above. It is amazing. You can type in anything like help with waivers, and there's probably 10 different answers to that question. They are actually very good. You can actually go on Twitter and ask My Fantasy League, and they will actually help you out right away. They are very spot on Twitter. They're always on there.
I was going to say some tips for new users would be a Twitter. You can ask, just shoot the question out there, maybe tag some fantasy people in it. Somebody is sure to get back to you, help you out if you don't just tag My Fantasy League. As far as the activity goes, if you don't already have one, you got to get some sort of league chat going, you know, Vox or Twitter. If you create a Facebook page, whatever it is, that way you can just keep those lines of communication open, because not everybody's going to get on every day and look at the message board or look at their offers, things like that. So you just need to keep lines of communication open. And as far as helping a commissioner, I commission a bunch of leagues, and I wouldn't even know where to begin, honestly, as to how to help a commissioner figure this out. It's one of those, like Mike said, you just kind of have to put the head down, power through, figure it out, because there are a million different ways to build a league on MyFantasyLeague.com, and that's what makes it great, and it also makes it very, very rough sometimes.
I have three things. So my first one is do not use an app. There's no MFL app. It's only third-party apps. And any and all trades and things like that can mess up very easily. So make sure that when you accept or send trades that you do it through the website. This is huge. I've had this issue. I like to consider myself savvy with MFL. I've had this issue before, not just with you, Tim Torch. I had it with others. And that's one. Two, ADP is very skewed on MFL because it changes constantly. It changes with whatever format is really popular at the time. MFL 10s, when those are really popular, that skews it so much. And then when dynasty starters are happening, and then when redrafts are happening, all these different things influence ADP. So like any league that you're starting, in general, you should have a cheat sheet. Cheat sheet of your rankings and your ADP and how you would do it, and just start crossing them off one by one.
That's a great one.
You're going to find, especially if you do a dynasty now or anytime before the draft, there will be so many players that are going to be at the bottom of the ADP, not even ranked, because people aren't drafting them in MFL 10s. Like, for example, when we did our, was it a month ago, 6 weeks ago, we did the UDP league. Kevin White was at the bottom. Josh Doxson was at the bottom.
Oh,
because, exactly. And they got, I mean, I'm not going to say they got taken late because of that, but when you don't see them, when you have to scroll all the way through the 800 players that they have on there to go to pick them, you're less likely. It's not in your brain of who's up next and how many picks away and all this crap. So that's a huge one. And then last, something I actually like about MFL 10 is about the picks. They don't actually have a correlating number to them for 2018 or whatever the next year. Flea Flicker does the opposite. Flea Flicker has it on there. So even if you're the best team, it's still going to say 18.01. So just remember that picks that are now, picks that are 17 and picks that are 18 are going to be differentiated. So make sure you check those out, just like with those with 19. So when you're trading with picks involved, just make sure you know which year, check the years, the numbers, because this just changed because MFL transferred over to the new year. But when that kind of time of the year happens, end of the last year, beginning of the new year on MFL, trading picks is very, very scary, because if you end up trading for a pick that you know, you think is, you know, the 101, 102, 103 ends up being the 109, 110, something like that. I've seen that happen a lot in leagues. So just be careful when trading picks at certain times of the year. And when you get used to MFL and you start using it more, you're going to see, you're going to know when these times are. And it's usually end of February, beginning of March. And then there's another cycle, usually in August. So just to kind of be wary of these three things.
Yeah. And with the commissioner thing, my only suggestion is take a half an hour to an hour and just play around with it. Check out all the tools, check out all the, you know, roster things you can do. I mean, there's things where if you go to the menu tab setup, there's a link that you can go to that will actually put in all the NFL rookies that are free agents or all free agents into the MFL database. Mm-hmm. There's a time in one of my new leagues when I first started, the free agents for the NFL, you know, if you wanted to scoop up that undrafted rookie, they weren't on there. So I actually had to ask, and then I played around with it. But yeah, I mean, just keep playing around with it. Check out all the options. It's very in-depth, like Mike said. I mean, there's a lot to it, but it is fantastic once you get your, you know, fingers wrapped around it. All right, our next question is from at Roto Librarian. And what do you make of the middle to late round one of 2017 rookie drafts? Do you guys want to trade out, or do you want to keep the picks?
I think that depends on my rosters. If I have picks in the middle of the late, you know, the late side of the rounds, I think almost every dynasty team could use tight end depth. There are plenty of tight ends that Tyler mentioned earlier that you could be picked somewhere between, you know, 108 to 112 area, and I don't think you're gonna see too many people cringe at that. And you're gonna see a lot of guys that it's just people are gonna take a stance on. You're gonna see a running back in a draft that is going to get taken in the late first round that isn't going to go to the middle of the second round in another draft. Same thing with wide receivers here. So it's just going to be either take a stance on a guy, or I'd say go after some tight ends. Other than that, if you don't love anybody, if you don't need the tight end depth somehow, then by all means, trade out, you know, build up some second round picks and start picking guys off there.
What about you, Mike?
I would, you know, I'm good. I'm good keeping that middle round, first round pick. Look, remember, these are picks. These are guesses, right? I mean, the people who were sitting at 102, 103 last year coming into the draft, they thought they were gods among men. It was like, yeah, I'm going to get that Laquan Treadwell on my team. How's that working out for you? Not just last year, but for your future. Right now, that looks like a completely wasted pick. Meanwhile, you had a guy at 107, 108, who was like, well, fine, I'll take Michael Thomas. And, well, boom. Like, so it's just, to me, I don't want to overvalue the pick. It's still an okay thing to have. But if there are players out there who are being devalued, like Emmanuel Sanders, I don't know if I would trade like a 105 straight up for Emmanuel Sanders, but just saying there are guys out there who a known commodity is sometimes better to have for your team, like Tim was talking about, based on your roster. It might be better to have a guy where you know what they are, you know what they're going to give you, as compared to the full-on just entering back into the crapshoot of, you're like, well, this guy was good in college, so I hope that his situation works out in the draft, and I hope that he is good in the NFL.
I've been a big advocate for quite a while now about selling the later picks. The mid picks, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about with mid picks. If you're talking about like 5, 6, 7, I mean, if you need a running back, you're getting the McCaffreys, you're getting the P Ryans at this spot. I like that. But other than that, honestly, I'm probably trading out of this area. And if I have a later pick, the, I don't know, 9 and after, I will gladly trade for any 18. Just because I don't really like the players at the spot. You're taking a tight end, I think, a little bit early, and you're looking at 2 to 3 years, so you're going to have to wait for them. And otherwise, you're looking at a Kamara, who I'm not a big fan of, John Ross, who I'm not a big fan of. And I just think that you're overvaluing, and you could even get, you know, Emmanuel Sanders plus something for a 110, 111, 112. I mean, any of those, I'll gladly take Emmanuel Sanders over, honestly, at this point. I just don't believe in those players that are there, and I think they're being overvalued. And in general, I'm usually a big advocate of trading out of later of the first rounds.
I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to ask my own question because I know what my answer is. Yep. Who's your guy this year? Certainly the NFL draft situation could change everything, but coming into it, having watched the tape on these guys, who is your guy right now?
Smart JP, Ryan.
Dude, Chris, we got to stop agreeing. P. Ryan is my guy. It is – I don't know what people are missing on him.
I don't either. I didn't even really hear much of especially negative about him until relatively recently. I think it was a couple weeks ago. Like, most people were just like, oh, he was a backup in Oklahoma. I was like, first of all, he wasn't a backup, but okay, sure. And then it started, oh, he has no vision. I was like, you're not watching him play. Like, that's his best trait. Oh, he can't break tackles enough.
What?
I've heard a lot of analysts. I've heard a lot of different podcasts now, like, just like smearing the hell out of Piron, and I don't understand. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm just being biased. I don't know how. I'm not an Oklahoma fan. I don't own any stock in the last name Piron. I was genuinely confused. And I went back and watched it again. I was just like, yeah, no, these people are just kind of dumb. I just don't know what else to explain. But yeah, Piron's my guy this year. Yeah.
I mean, he reminds me of the aforementioned Marshawn, that his balance is so incredible. Look, I love a guy who his first instinct when he's on the one-on-one or one-on-one tackle, he's not like, I'm going to shift. He's like, I'm going right through you. And look, that will be different a little bit in the NFL. Guys are much bigger. But his balance is so unbelievably good. I don't care that he's not the shiftiest. He's not LeSean McCoy. Fine. Yeah. But he stays on his feet and he gets positive yardage. And I think that his hands are good enough that that teams won't be afraid to throw him the ball. So I'm with you, Chris. Piron is my guy. In my other league, I hope that he falls to me in my later picks. He's going to be the guy who I'm targeting.
Yeah, I comped him. I wrote an article about him for our website when we first started it, which was, I think, about 2 months ago now, more or less. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that he's what Spencer Ware truthers think Spencer Ware is, or a little bit lesser version of Marshawn Lynch. Like a Marshawn Lynch without the pass-catching track record in college. That's Piron to me. Yes, Marshawn Lynch was 215 when he came out, but, I mean, he wasn't 215 by the time he played. In the NFL. So, yeah, absolutely. To me, he's absolutely like Marshawn Lynch, just with a shorter track record of success in the passing game. And that's something that we've seen many running backs develop over time, especially those bigger backs. So I have no qualms with him whatsoever. I don't understand any kind of disdain people have with him. I just don't get it.
What about you, Tim? Who's your guy?
If we're going to talk about running backs, and this is a guy I'm not going to be taking shots on at the first round, but Jeremy McNichols. I'm a Boise State guy to begin with, but then watching his tape, the only thing that concerns me about McNichols is the amount of usage he got there in college. They may have just kind of worn the tread a little bit off those tires more than some of these other prospects have, but the kid plays, the kid gets the yards. He doesn't have he's not the fastest guy, he's not the strongest guy, but I think he does everything well. I think he can be a guy used on any one of the three downs. He's got the ability to catch the ball. He can be a weapon in space. He can run between the tackles. So I like Jeremy McNichols. I think he's going to be a good value in, me personally, I'm probably looking at the earliest, maybe like the 203, and that's probably a stretch at this point. But yeah, second round value for Jeremy McNichols for me.
Yeah. And for me, I'm actually going to go later than that. And I would say Chris Godwin, but I would have to give the credit to Katie Flower and Tim Torch. I love Chris Godwin, but I'm going to have to go Corey Clement. I like his tape. He's a good third, mid-third, late-third kind of a player to watch out for. And you got to remember, this guy, he looked better to me than Melvin Gordon when he was in as a freshman. And, I mean, he had that horrible combine, but he actually redeemed himself in the pro day. I get you have to add seconds to 40s and all that, but he ran a 4.54 40. He's not a super fast guy. He's got some shiftiness, and I just think he can be a good first and second down back. And he's one of those running back flyers to take in the third or fourth round. But yeah, I mean, I like what I saw on tape. I get everybody else is really down on him, so maybe I'll get him for dirt cheap now, but I'll gladly do that.
Yeah, Tyler's been high on Corey here for a long time, and then when that pro day happened, he got really happy. to Mike and Chris's point, with Chris saying he hears other people talk about how Piron gets tackled too easy, like Mike said, he's not the type of guy. If he gets the edge, the safety's coming down, it's a one-on-one type of play, he's not going to try to juke the safety. He's just going to lower the shoulder and let's say, man's game, let's see who wins. And with Piron's size, Piron tends to win those battles most often. But yeah, you have a big collision, you're going to go down most of the time. So it's not a matter of being tackled too easy. He's just not the type of guy who's going to attempt to juke somebody out of their shoes. He welcomes the contact at times.
Yeah, and this is actually a player that Chris, Tim, and I are actually, you know, pretty high on altogether, rather than all the other dynasty sites. Tim Torch is pretty high on him, but us three consensus have to be one of the highest in the sites. Chris, would you probably agree?
Yeah, I think Tim Torch, him and I had a talk about it. And I think him and I both said that if you're in need of RB, like in terms of talent, he's our 104. But I think we both have him ahead of Williams, Mike Williams.
Of the big four guys, who's been bumped down to five?
Williams.
Okay. Well, no, I'm saying so is I'm talking Cook, Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey.
I have Piron as my third running back.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll let Chris explain his Mixon thing.
No, we don't need to. Yeah. I am just taking a moral stand on
Joe Mixon. Hey.
Plain and simple.
Nope, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I know. Yep. I know you don't. But yeah, that's just my thing. Like, I'm not, when he gets drafted or if he gets drafted, I'll rank him then. But until then, I'm just not, he's off my board kind of thing. And even when he gets drafted, he's off my board for me personally. I'll rank him, but I will not own him anywhere. It's like, I don't own AP anywhere. I just don't have these kind of players.
When I've been talking to people about Mixon is, and it's, you know, I feel like it's a pretty much a consensus. Like, well, Mixon's at worst, people consider him a top three. A lot of guys have him, that he's their best back in the draft. And to me, I'm like, there's no guarantee that Joe Mixon's going to get drafted. I understand that the talent says that he should get drafted, but this is a new NFL. He didn't go to the combine because of a very hardline rule from the NFL. And if he's not drafted, then he has to earn his way up through who knows how large of a depth chart. So I think it's just interesting for people who automatically slot him in at that point. I know we don't have a lot to go on because you're going on talent and everything, but I'm just, that's my, when I tell people about it, my hesitation is the guy could be buried for a while. Maybe he earns his way up to the top, but there is a very little guarantee with him.
There are a lot of narratives going on with Joe Mixon, and the narrative before the combine was, oh, he will still get drafted, don't worry. And I'm speaking from like a truther perspective, like the Joe Mixon truther. It's, oh, he's going to get drafted, don't worry. Teams will see the talent. Just wait. Okay. And then the combine happened, and then the running backs didn't do very well overall in terms of the agility, the speed scores, whatever else. And it was, oh, if Joe Mixon there, he would have tore it up. Then he had a great pro day. And then it was, oh, he won't get out of the second round now. Like this narrative, it's like, okay, based off of talent, off of running talent and what he did at his pro day, sure, yeah, no, he's not going to get past the second round. You're ignoring this, and like, oh no, there'll be always some team that'll deal with it. Yeah, that's what people said about Ray Rice too. People said it when Ray Rice was finally cut, when he had, oh, somebody will take him. His talent is too much. And I'm sorry, Ray Rice was a better talent than Joe Mixon. And yeah, he had a bad year beforehand. Still, there are certain lines, and the line that there is now is video. That's the line.
Yeah, and I was gonna say.
And when people say, oh yeah, what about this guy? What about this guy?
Video.
Again, video. Oh, is it, and then I always get the, oh, does that mean that if somebody did something worse, it's not on video? I said, video. It's not about me. It's not about my morals. If it were my morals, most players in the NFL wouldn't be allowed to play. It's about what teams perceive. And teams perceive video as being much worse than non-video. And it's pretty self-explanatory. It's the same thing about political events. Why do people know certain political events over others? Video. And it's the same thing with Joe Mixon. If he gets drafted in the second round, I'll be baffled. And I'm not saying like, oh, he's definitely not. I would just be wildly surprised. If he gets drafted in the first three rounds, I will be surprised. It's not about talent all the time. You can look at any draft and some players move up and move down for a million and one reasons that have nothing to do with their talent. Joe Mixon is a talented player, but video, God damn it, it's not that hard to comprehend.
Yep, and on the last thing of that, I can paint a picture where Mixon goes undrafted seventh or sixth round. His attitude changes. He's not this golden boy that he is right now during the combine process. And he goes back to his old ways and falls on his face. But all right, we'll move on to the next question. And we'll kind of do more of a rapid fire, kind of get through this. But sure. The Mr. McGee, I have 101 and 103, need both a wide receiver and running back. How would you play that out? The 102 says they are in need of wide receiver. So what would you guys do in that scenario if the 102 pretty much said, I need a receiver, and pretty much gave his card? Yeah, I mean, he pretty much gave him his cards and said, here's what I got in my hand.
Yeah, I don't personally see a Dallas running back situation in the draft. I mean, there's a couple places that could be spectacular. Washington, Tampa Bay, I think if... Oakland. If one, but even Oakland to me is not as much as the other places. I still believe the team likes Washington and Richard, so they're going to split. Meanwhile, a guy who could go to, if a guy had enough talent, could go to Tampa, I think, and just take over the situation. I just don't see that is happening. So if I'm you at the 101, I'm taking the wide receiver that I like more and I like their situation more, and then I'll grab the running back with my second pick.
All right. Now, Mike, I have to ask one little sidebar. Mike Williams or Corey Davis for you at the moment?
Oh, man. At the moment, it's Corey Davis for me. So if I'm picking between the two. And so, like, let's say a good example for you is at 113, I believe it is. My Arizona Cardinals will be on the clock, and I think there's a decent chance they grab a wide receiver if both of those guys are there, and I would hope they would take Corey Davis.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love that too.
Let's just use two teams from the NFC West. So Arizona takes Corey Davis. San Francisco ends up getting Mike Williams. Is it still Corey Davis for you?
Yes.
And then flip him. Mike Williams goes to Arizona and Corey Davis goes to San Francisco.
I'm okay with Mike Williams. I prefer what I've seen from Davis.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to take two odd landing spots. Not odd landing spots, but one's definitely a teardrop below. So if Williams comes to Arizona and Davis ends up in the,
situation. Oh, I see. Who am I taking for fantasy, you mean?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like if Davis goes to the less attractive area, is that close enough where Williams can, surpass him?
Man, that's tough because I am a strong believer in Kyle Shanahan, and he's going to be there for a very long time. And the Cardinals, if we don't get a quarterback here that we're going to groom for the future, next year is going to be rough because Fitz will be gone, Carson Palmer will be gone, and I've lived those days when you have a franchise quarterback and all of a sudden you don't, and it's Lindley. Terrible.
That was the quarterback's name, Lindley.
Oh, there's many others you can name, but I mean, you're talking about quarterbacks who were so bad that they murdered the prime years of Larry Fitzgerald's career. I mean, even Larry Fitzgerald, who by all accounts is one of the best wide receivers to have ever played football, had statistically down years because of how bad the system was. Meanwhile, I think that Shanahan's system, regardless of who was at the quarterback, he has shown his willingness to just absolutely overload a guy with targets. So, yeah, which that's why I kind of like Garcon coming into this year, regardless of who the quarterback is. But the San Francisco wide receiver could find themselves in a better position in the long term.
Okay. Now we're going to go super rapid fire with Mike. I'm going to ask him directly. You two, if you have anything to add, please do. But I can't wait to see how short a time Mike can actually take with this question. And it is from Ben L. Dovin. I love his opinion on what role Rex Burkhead will have in New England offense. A viable fantasy starter, flex, or I'm going to add this one in, running back one.
Oh,
overall.
All right. Overall. I'll try and keep it short. All of those scenarios, running back one through running back five, are on equal playing field for me right now. A huge tipping point will be if LeGarrette Blount is back, and and Deion Lewis, which I think there is a chance that both of those guys are not on the Patriots offense when the year starts. And if so, then Rex Burkhead would be at least a high three, low level two for me, floor, which of course we've seen it could be way better than that.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is from Jessen Jin.
Nailed it.
Yep. Nailed it. Yep. Pretty much. Who are some guys that you have that? Okay.
He's just flustered. Now that name got him.
It did. Who are some guys that you are trading for that most may not be, all right, that most may be undervaluing? There we go. Tongue twisters. Words are hard.
Ooh. Do you guys have any off the top of your head? I'm trying to think.
In dynasty formats, a guy like Leonte Carew has almost no value to anybody but truthers. Oh, man.
You guys are all Team Carew.
I was on Team Carew at last year's draft, and these two were arguing against me on Carew. You can get him for pennies, and he could be a great stash for you. Chris?
So we're talking about stash players that are
People that people are down on that you can get for great deals right now.
I've got one. ProSize.
Yeah. Shut up.
No, he's not wrong. He could be had cheaper than usual.
Chris Seriously? Is like the anti-ProSize bandwagon. Like we're
no, because
on,
you
we're on the bus.
His price too much. He went from being a late first round pick last year, had one game of relevance, was suddenly the 105, and now we have to treat him. Although they signed Lacy, Rawls will be healthy starting the season. We're still treating him like the 105, and it pisses me off because he's not worth the 105.
To you.
You artificially hype his price up based off of nothing.
I do not have that power. If I have that power,
no, it's even people like you.
But no, it's okay. Mike and I are on this bandwagon, you know, playing instruments, just loving life on the pro size. Chris is in there with a twisted metal truck trying to veer us off the road.
The ice cream truck?
Yeah.
He's Mr. Grimm.
All right, so later, guys. Allen Hurns is one of mine. Happen to like Allen Hurns. He's one of the most efficient wide receivers in 2015. That being said, same thing with Marquise Lee. In leagues that I have one, I try to have both because I feel like one of them will pop off and do well and have a top 30-ish season. I'm trying to think who else here. Doxson's too easy, although his value is really depreciated. Let me think.
All right,
Tim, so you have any? Yeah,
Tim.
I was going to say Brandon Marshall with the Giants could be one.
Yep.
You know, he's an older guy, but if you're in that window where you're a playoff team, you're thinking you can make a run in the championship, Brandon Marshall could do well there in New York playing for the team in blue and not the team in green. That's for sure.
Throw out a guy who I still believe in him, though you guys may not. Amir Abdullah, I think that the talent is there. Oh, yeah. Muy pequeño sample size last year. What was a game and a half, but I still believe in him as a player, and he could be cheaper than usual right now, as there is fear that the Lions would take somebody in the draft.
That offensive line is
and they've improved
beyond better.
Yeah,
like that's a good offensive line now.
Tyler Lockett is one of mine.
Yeah, I just got him for pennies. I felt today.
Yeah, you did.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. At Benny Anak, he's got three questions. I felt like I nailed that name, by the way.
How many, the last one.
Yeah. How many veterans is too many on a dynasty team? Go, quick.
Are we talking like 16-man roster? 16? I'd say if you're...
16-team roster? Holy cow.
I'm just using an easy number. That's what normal redraft roster size. I'd say if over your half of your roster is... I don't know. What are we considering a veteran?
No. Okay. Yeah. What are we calling a veteran? Over 26 or older at running back. Let's say 29 or older at wide receiver.
Yeah. If over half your roster is guys of that age or later.
This is the worst rapid fire I'd like to say I've ever been in.
You're you don't define your terms.
Yeah. You're steering the ship here, buddy.
Yeah.
It's on you. You're the captain.
Okay. Okay, 25-man roster, 12 teams. How many veteran players overall? I would say 5.
Really?
Over, oh, no. Over 30, I would say, is veteran.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 5. Yeah, 5 is a good number there.
Yeah, so I'd say 5 to 7.
I'm not qualified to answer this question.
You're probably younger than Tim, so.
What do you got, Mike? I'm 35.
I just turned 34.
Ooh, yeah. Grandpa.
Hey, team old man. We're bringing
rapid fire.
All right, let's go, Tyler. Rapid.
Which running backs lose their jobs to rookies in 2017? Let's all of us do three.
Rob Kelly.
Yep, I agree.
Paul Perkins.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And
to
Mike,
to a rookie.
Yeah, you take the last one.
Whoever is the starting running back for Tampa.
Okay.
So whether it be Doug Martin or Jacquizz. And right, speaking of a really, really cheap guy, go get Jacquizz Rodgers.
Get Charles Sims.
Well, maybe. But I feel like Jacquizz is the starting running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now.
Yeah. All right.
Mark Ingram.
Oh, love Mark Ingram. Oh, that's my man.
They already have Laska, though.
David Johnson. No.
Ooh.
I had to. All right. Top post free agent frenzy trade targets. Each give one.
Robert Woods.
I like it.
Yeah. I'll jump in. The aforementioned Brandon Marshall. I think he could.
Yeah.
I think if you're just trying to push yourself over the top, go get Marshall.
All right.
I'm going after Malcolm Mitchell with the Cooks news. People been
I like it.
I've been going after Mitchell. I actually have one sitting a trade pending right now. So hopefully, whoever that's with doesn't hear this in time.
I'll wait to post it.
What about sales? Hold on. Let's go the opposite. So post free agency sales.
In that same trade, I'm selling Cooks.
Okay, Mike.
Oh man, I don't off the top of my head. I would have to actually look at a list. I'm not ready for a sell.
Shepherd.
Yep. That's the one with Shepherd.
See, I'm not bailing on Shepherd yet. Not yet. I think they play three wide more than what anyone else in the league. And Marshall,
I'm sheepdogging them. Sheepdogging them out the door.
That's very fascinating. Now you're already done with him.
I was done with him last year, but yeah, I'm just more done with him this year.
With the point. Chris is the angry teenager that broke up with him. Oh, yeah, I've been done with him forever. I don't care.
With the Lacy news, doesn't that make Rawls a pretty interesting sale target?
You can't sell him.
Good luck. What about Michael Thomas, everybody?
Oh, I would sell him like crazy. I can't like Tim.
I was first selling him before.
Like Tim Torch, I can't get that gauntlet out of my head. Him falling literally on his face. I can't get that out of my head. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he made you look like a dumbass by putting up like 90 something catches and 1200 plus yards and whatever else.
Wait till coverages roll to him.
What,
you're
Mike?
Selling Michael Thomas, really.
In Dynasty, because he was already a top 12 wide receiver in Dynasty. He's probably going to be what now? A top 8 or 9? How often does Drew Brees have a wide receiver with over 130 targets, Mike?
I'm going to guess never.
It's almost never. So he's at peak value and he just keeps going up. So sell him.
Sure, but okay, so the target thing is fine. But what was his stat line again last year?
92. I don't have it offhand.
I can pull it up.
We should move on a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, I find that very intriguing that because I've seen a lot of the Twitter talk, you know, they're specifically saying, well, the target share, Drew Brees does not target hog a guy, right. But he almost always leads the league in yards. He leads the league in completions.
Oh, no doubt.
He's always near the top for touchdowns. So to me, there's no reason to, sell Michael Thomas, which then that leads me right into my other point of we're talking about a free agent buy or a free agent frenzy buy. Go get Willie Snead.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
And I also will say Kobe Fleener. Hopefully he learns how to catch.
Oh, please. My dynasty team needs it.
Who's the oldest out of Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks, and Michael Thomas?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
That'd be
question.
Thomas. Thomas's.
Is it Thomas?
Yep.
I'm checking. Michael Thomas is older than Brandon Cooks by 6 months.
Me and Michael Thomas share a birthday.
Look at that. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this one's
Michael Thomas is the oldest.
This one is from HH Hotshot. This one is, should I offer anything to the guy who picked up Marshawn Lynch? We already went over this.
No.
You guys, yeah. No.
No. He won the sweepstakes. Just live with it.
Burger from the dollar menu.
I would keep that burger.
Bag of Skittles.
All right. This one's from at Dreamers, FFL. Best prospect in a rookie draft, even if it's a tight end, or best prospect at a position of need. Okay. Best prospect in a rookie draft. So, you know, best available or best prospect at position of need for his team. What would you guys do in this spot?
What's the team?
No, like if you guys had a need, would you guys draft for need or would you guys go best player available?
Don't do need. Please. Need is what gets you Amir Abdullah at the 105 in 2015. Don't do need. Yeah. Or it gets you TJ Yeldon at 103.
Wait, Yeldon was 103? I wasn't in Dynasty then.
Who did that?
No, it was in a league that I was in. Somebody yelled at him 103 because he really needed a running back. And yeah.
That's vomit.
Are you asking for a friend?
No. But in general, I'm against the need-based drafting just because you just get yourself in really bad positions and you reach on players unnecessarily and you're banking on them succeeding. And a lot of times you get disappointed. I mean, even if you went Melvin Gordon in 102 in 2015, which I did do in a number of leagues, over Amari Cooper or over Todd Gurley or whatever. Amari Cooper, not over Gurley. You end up just shooting yourself in the foot a lot of times because you get really angry because you put a lot of into them and you expect it to happen automatically when you reach for players like this based off of need. Especially not tight end. You definitely don't want to do it on tight end.
All right, you too.
If you draft best player available, there's always going to be that trade market later on. So, like,
yep.
For you guys, you two, I'm looking at our rookie rankings here. You guys have Leonard Fournette number one. If you guys have a stacked running back roster, you guys take Leonard Fournette anyways. You guys can always move on from Leonard Fournette later on,
sure.
Even though you didn't necessarily need him. He's going to maintain his value where, for whatever reason, let's just say you guys, I think Mike Williams is the best player and the best wide receiver here. I really need a wide receiver. You take Mike Williams, he kind of starts to tank. If you got to go off consensus. If everybody else is ranking a certain player in a certain space, and you know you're in that pick, and it just doesn't make sense for you necessarily to draft that player. Take him and trade him. Get the value that way.
Yeah, don't forget about in draft trading too. Try and go that way.
All right. Yeah, and I agree. Like you, Chris said, no tight ends. I've got OJ Howard ranked at 7 in my rookies. I think he is a can't miss guy. I would still do best player available though. All right. Last question: if the 2016 and 17 wide receiver classes came out the same year, how would you rank them?
Ooh.
And he said same with running backs and tight ends, but we'll just do the receivers because that's interesting to me. Because
so like top five wide receivers between 16 and 17?
Yeah.
Okay.
Davis won.
It's hard. We say Davis now, and then when he goes to San Francisco, we're not gonna like it.
I like Hoyer as a quarterback. I think he is competent. I think, like Mike said, if he's the number one receiver in San Francisco, Mike, how did Julio Jones do last year?
He did very well for my dynasty team.
How do the number ones in Shanahan's offense do?
They do pretty fantastic, esque Pierre Garçon 2013.
How is Shanahan's play calling in the Super Bowl in the second half?
very, very passive.
Sorry, I'm still bitter.
All right. So, Mike, what would your top five be for between 16 and 17 wide receivers?
Man, it's so brutal because you're coming off of the sting of last year. I mean, it was a colossal failure. I don't know. Like I said, I'm still newer to Dynasty. But for both of my leagues, the top rookies, you had Treadwell, Doxson, and Corey Coleman were the top three guys.
Yeah.
That did not work last year for anybody. I mean, Corey Coleman had a couple games of flashing, but And their careers are not done. I'm not calling for the end of their careers, but you're so tainted by that disappointment. So it's hard not to look at guys who haven't let you down yet and say, well, they're better. You know what
now,
I mean?
Now I'm asking, I wanted to ask, are we taking this rookie year into consideration? Because like Mike Thomas wasn't a top five wide receiver. He wasn't a top five pick.
Anybody. Just
a college prospect. Yeah. Okay.
So anybody from that was in last year's class wide receiver, anybody in this year's class wide receiver, top five between the two of them.
I'll just give you my quick fire. It's Corey Davis, it's Mike Thomas, it's Mike Williams, Corey Coleman, and then Josh Doxson.
I like it.
I would go probably Corey Davis. Josh Doxson will still be my number two. I love him. I think he's gonna be spectacular. Assuming his Achilles is okay. Mike Williams, three. I still really like Thomas. So I'll go Thomas, three, Williams, four. And I still like Sterling Shepard for who he is, for his role. So I still like him way up there.
All right, Tim.
I was player for player there with Mike Wright until the number five. I'll take Corey Coleman there at five.
Me too. I'm with you on that one.
All right. Tim, wrap us up.
Well, that'll do it for the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. So, Mr. Mike Wright, how can the people that somehow don't already follow you or, I mean, just I guess put it out there. This, you're not going to get any followers out of us, but yeah. How can people find you, sir?
So I'm on the Fantasy Footballers podcast. Look for us wherever podcasts are available. And if you want to follow me, I'm at FF Hitman, always giving you my hot takes. I actually tend to tweet about non-football related things a little bit, maybe more than most accounts. Like, I don't know if you saw this, Tyler, but our guy, David Johnson's running a football camp in Arizona. I signed my boy up. We're going to go have David Johnson teach him how to play some running back. It's going to be spectacular. But
nice. You should tell him that I live close to Iowa, so we're pretty much family.
Mike, wouldn't it be more beneficial if you taught your son how to play the David Johnson song on instruments? Your kid's probably not going to be a football player. I'm just saying.
You'd actually be surprised. He got all of his athleticism from my wife's side of the family, which is very athletic and and very good for him that he did not get dad's athleticism.
I've seen your combine tape. It looks like you're struggling a little bit through some of it.
Dude, but I'm slower than everybody. I'm the slowest one, and I should not be, but I am not gifted.
Okay, Jason beat you, which was I lost a bet in Vegas. I'm still very upset. Yeah.
Well, Jason is an athlete hiding in a non-athlete's body.
Did you guys like have something like a nice In-N-Out burger at the end of the 40 yard run for him? Yeah, That's not a shot, Jason. No, you're awesome. But no, I have to say, like Tim was saying, if you don't follow Mike, you've been living under a rock. I mean, who actually has a clone Twitter that somebody made up? Like, you have somebody that made a fake account.
It's not the first, actually.
Oh, there's a parody Twitter. I didn't even know.
Yes, it's FF Hitman MW. And honest to God, I thought it was you for a split second. I'm like, wait a minute.
This past round, I got a lot of people and in a lot of industry people like, whoa, have you seen this? Was this you? I'm like, no, man, it's not me. it's because they won't verify me, so people are having fun with that.
Come on, Twitter.
What if one of the fake accounts got verified?
I would. You're gonna see me go full King of Game of Thrones Tommen, just fall out the window because it's done.
All right, Chris, where can the people find you?
You can find me at ChrisWhitman11 on Twitter and hit me up with all your ridiculous trades like Keenan Allen or the 110 in a rookie draft, which I don't understand. But yeah, you can hit me up there.
Gotta love draft season.
Keep it off Joe Mixon. If you really care about my Joe Mixon, just go back in the tweets. Don't ask me about Dalvin Cook and the dog. It makes you sound like an asshole, honestly. So,
Chris, I have to. No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, that's where you can find me on Twitter.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at TimDynastyFF. Tyler, what about you?
At DHHGunth.
And you can find all of us over at DynastyHappyHour.com. Go over there, check out the website. Go over to iTunes, leave us ratings, reviews, help us out there. And while you're over at the website, make sure you go ahead and buy yourself a DHH t-shirt. They're hot. They're flying off the shelves. They're beautiful.
I feel like I'm getting sick and tired of mentioning that. You guys can hang out with Chris, Tim, and I during the NFL draft day one if you just buy a t-shirt. Like, there's a good chance you might be able to. It's great. Mike, you should get yourself a t-shirt because you could do this for like 3+ hours.
Can I get a t-shirt and not hang out with you guys?
Yes.
Well, we'll send it with a jacket. Once Sabres finally gets a hold of me, I'll send the jacket with a shirt. You look like a small.
Yes. Yes, please get me a small.
tiny t-shirt Tuesdays.
I need extra small sleeves.
25 inch arms.
All right, so with that being said, anybody else got anything else?
Nope. No, like Chris said, stop with the ridiculous trades. I get the draft is coming up, but man, and I do have to say, leave Chris alone with the Mixon thing. He's standing up for he's standing up for what he believes, and it's getting old. I have actually friends that listen to the show, and they're like, what's up with him and Mixon? I'm like, dude, he's standing up for what he believes. I'm like, what's wrong with that? Not enough people these days do that. So
there you go. All right. So with that, that'll wrap up to this week's podcast. We are the Dynasty Happy Hour.
All right, everybody. See you guys next week. And
draft, trade, win, repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWhitman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.